song we just sang is a good introduction to the lesson, because the sentiment of that song is expressing the joy that we have in Christ and fellowship with Him. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, John says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you, that your joy may be full." I want to talk this morning about the fact that our joy is indeed full, and that we experience this fullness of joy because of what has been written. Notice he says, "These things we write to you that your joy may be full." Could we have a full joy without these things being written? I submit to you, no, we couldn't. The songwriter that we just, the lyrics of the song that we just sang, you read those, and it's not really a full description of how we have that joy in Christ, or even salvation. There's much more to be said, and people have taken the lyrics of that song, or at least the sentiments of those lyrics, and have misrepresented the gospel of Christ. Not that you have to, but you can take those lyrics and accurately represent the gospel of Christ as well. "These things are written that your joy may be full." The fullness of joy is found in fellowship with Christ and His church. Notice that's what he said here in verse 3. "That you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We declare these things to you, that you can have fellowship with us, and in having fellowship with us, you're actually having fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." Certainly, we have every reason to be full of joy, to recognize that we're not separated from God, but we are in fellowship with God. It's a wonderful thought. In Acts chapter 2, in verses 46 through 47, we find that those who obeyed the gospel in that first on that Pentecost day, the first time the gospel was preached, it says that they continued daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread from house to house, and ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Those who continued daily with one accord in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and continuing daily with one another, in fellowship with one another, were glad. There wasn't anything complicated about what they were doing. It was in simplicity of heart, humbleness towards each other, lifting up one another, encouraging each other, praising God, and having favor with all the people. There are other examples, of course, in the book of Acts of joy being in a Christian. In Acts chapter 8, we find that in the city of Samaria, there was great joy in that city, because it seems like nearly the entire city obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ and are baptized. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, we read of the treasurer of Ethiopia who had been in Jerusalem and had heard the debates there about Jesus of Nazareth. He asked Philip, "Who is the prophet speaking of here in Isaiah chapter 53? Of himself or of some other man?" And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. No, he's not talking about Isaiah. He's talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the servant of God, the suffering servant, who suffered and paid the price of death for your sins so that you can live in Him. He is the Prince of Life, as we talked about this morning in our adult Bible study. When they came to a certain body of water, the treasurer said, "Here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian treasurer went on his way rejoicing. You know, it's interesting how that in recent years, archaeology has uncovered many places throughout northern Africa, Ethiopia, where Christian worship was engaged. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 52, at Antioch, it says that the disciples were filled with joy. And in chapter 16 of Acts, in verse 34, the Philippian jailer, who was about to take his life, and Paul cried out and said, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." And the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" Peter responded, "You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And that same night, they taught him what he needed to believe, both he and his whole family. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them, having been baptized, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. When is he recognized as a believer? Before or after his baptism? It's after his baptism. And he's rejoicing. Rejoicing because he's no longer separated from God. He's in fellowship with God, with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ, and with all of the faithful, the body of the saved, the kingdom of Christ. There are things that keep one from full joy. You know, there in 1 John, John says, "I write these things to you that your joy may be full." But he also, in the writing of 1 John, wrote of some things that would keep us from having full joy. One of those, very plainly, is sin. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 10, we read, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, no darkness at all, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. We're in fellowship with one another. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say that we have fellowship with him who is light and there is no darkness at all in him and we walk in darkness, we are living in darkness. We say we have fellowship with him, but we are practicing the things of darkness. We are lying. We're lying to others. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to God. What's John trying to get us to do here? Is he trying to bust our bubble of joy? No. He's trying to get us to be honest with ourselves and to realize that we are called to be holy as he is holy, to be pure as he is pure, to be as God is, that we are to reflect his image, that he is light and there is no darkness at all in him, and we should have no darkness at all in us. We need to recognize our shortcomings. We need to recognize our sins. Repent, turn from them, and confess them before God and genuinely be walking in the light with him. Sin prevents us from having a fullness of joy, right? We have guilt because of our sin. We're not happy because of our sin. We need to acknowledge our sin and turn from it. Sin brings sorrow. Peter wept bitterly after denying Jesus. Sin brings a sense of condemnation. Adam and Eve hid from God. Whereas before, when they heard the voice of God walking in the garden, they ran with open arms to Him. They looked forward to seeing Him and talking with Him. This time, they had sinned and they hid themselves. Judas, when he recognized how terrible of an action he had done in denying Jesus Christ and delivering Him to his enemies, went out and hung himself. His was a sorrow, but it was not a godly sorrow that led to repentance. Sin will do that to us. Today, people hide their sins in a busy life or the fact that everybody else is doing it. We've defined sin down so far that we don't recognize it as sin. Well, this is just the way we are as a society. This is what our culture is. Should we be reading what is written that our joy might be full? Take your heads this way. Yeah? Sure. Do you read the Bible every day? Do you meditate on it? Well, I'm just too busy. I want to. I intend to, but you know, I get up in the morning and I've got to get ready and get out the door and get busy all day and get home and things to do, and before I know it, I'm just so tired I have to go to bed. And another day has gone by. I haven't read the Bible. What about other things? We're just too busy to help people that need help. Too busy to do the good that we know we ought to do. But we're too busy doing other things. We cannot hide our sin from God. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13 it says, "There is no creature hidden from His sight. All things are naked and open to His eyes, to whom we must give an account." We know we're wrong. God knows we're wrong. We need to acknowledge, repent, and confess our sins to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to maintain our fellowship with Him. If we will turn from our sin rather than walk in our sin. Tears will not wash away our sins. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. And as one who is in Christ, that blood is available to us as long as we acknowledge, repent, and confess our sins to Him. Selfishness is a form of sin that will prevent us from having a fullness of joy. In 1 John 3 and verse 17, he wrote, "Whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Somebody once said that the formula for joy is Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. I believe there's a lot of truth in that. We know that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We know that we are to live for others and consider others before we consider ourselves. In 1 John chapter 3 and verses 11 through 12, this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Abel walked in the light. No darkness in Abel. Cain walked in the darkness. And the life of Abel convicted the life of Cain. God convicted the sins of Cain, encouraged him to repent and to turn from them before his sins consumed him. One cannot find joy at the expense of others. Love one another. Let brotherly love continue. Another thing that will keep us from joy is inordinate affection. You use that word a lot, inordinate affection. That's just affection for things that we shouldn't have affection for. Your affection's going in the wrong place. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17, John wrote, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And so when he says, do not love the world, he's talking about, do not love the things that are not of the Father. Do not love the things that are good and perfect. All that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, striving to gratify the pleasures of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. What, I see it, I want it, I'm going to get it. The pride of life. Failing to humble yourself, failing to think of others, failing to think of the good of others, and only to think of self. These things are not of the Father. They're of the world. And you're not going to find joy in gratifying them. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The world is passing away. It's not designed to be here forever and ever and ever and ever. It's going to pass away with a great noise. And so what about all those things that are of the world that we have lusted after instead of pursuing the joy of faithfulness in God? That will pass away too. But he who abides and does the will of God abides forever. Things may be pleasure to be enjoyed. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 says, God has given us richly all things to enjoy, but the pursuit of or the possession of things cannot make people happy. If we find joy only in the pursuit and possession of things, then we find that in order to stay happy, we have to continue to pursue and possess more things. There is no contentment in that. Have we learned to be content with such things as we have rather than to be discontent? Have we learned to be thankful for the things that we have rather than discontent because of the things that we don't have? Have we counted our blessings? Are we aware of our greatest blessing that we could have is that salvation and fellowship with God here and hereafter? The rich fool placed too much emphasis on things, worked hard to have the success that he had. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to build down these little barns and build bigger barns. And then once I get everything in there, then I can finally sit back and rest and enjoy life. No, tonight, your life is going to be required of you. And then whose shall these things be? Because they're not coming with you. We need to learn these lessons. But there are sources of joy as well in 1 John. The promises of God. 1 John 2 and verse 25. This is the promise that He has promised us. Eternal life. I can find joy in that. I can see that life is fleeting. That we're not here very long at all. Indeed, our life is a vapor that appears for a while and then passes away. But there is eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's promised to those who are in Him. Fellowship with God brings joy. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. We who have sinned, we who have been selfish and self-centered, we who have walked in the darkness, we can be called the children of God because of the love of God. The grace, the favor of God, the mercy of God, the avenue of salvation provided to us through Jesus Christ by God. The world does not know us because it did not know Him." Jesus said, "Don't be surprised when they persecute you and say all manner of evil things against you. They did the same thing to me." Those who are like Cain and hate righteousness are going to continue to hate righteousness in the ones that they are contemporary with. But be like Abel. Be in fellowship with God. Hear and trust God and obey God and glorify God thereby. And you will know that you are a child of God with access to an inheritance of eternal life. Another source of joy is the hope that we have. In 1 John chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3, it says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." If I have a hope of being as He is, then I have a motivation to purify myself as He teaches me to. To put away all darkness. To let the light of righteousness shine into every crevice and crack of my life. And burn out the darkness of sin that is there. That we might be like Him. And embrace the hope of this promise that He has given to us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us that we are rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfastly in prayer. Yes, there is great joy in the hope that is based on the promises of God's Word. Genuine hope enables one to face the present and the future with assurance and with joy. We might be going through difficult times in our life, financially, health-wise, emotionally. All kinds of difficulties we face in life, but the hope that we have in Christ fills us with assurance that we can overcome, and with joy that we are in fellowship with Him. early Christians were happy, not because they had no problems. They had problems. Rather, they were happy in the midst of their problems. They had problems from Jews who rejected Christ and therefore rejected Christianity. They had problems with Jewish Christians who were wanting to go back to the some forms of the Mosaic system in order to be saved. The Judaizing teachers said you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. You have to continue to observe Sabbath. You have to keep some of the high holy days and so forth. All of that was part of the Judaizing teaching. The apostles opposed it vehemently. And the Judaizing teachers opposed them and those who stood for truth. Early Christians had problems in their culture from those who were ungodly. They had problems that they faced from government. But they had joy because they were in Christ. They continued to rejoice in hope. And so these introductory words of 1 John chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4 that we noticed at the beginning of the lesson are so important. So important for them, so important for us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. We are not hearsay witnesses. We saw Jesus. We handled him. We lived with him. We saw him crucified. We saw him risen from the dead. And we declare him unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. You can be in fellowship with him as well. These things I write to you, that your joy may be full. Listen to what I'm writing. Pay heed to them. Stay away from those things that will squelch your joy and remove any reason for joy. Turn away from your sin. Confess it before God and live to his glory, trusting him and obeying him. Be in fellowship with him. Embrace the fellowship and the hope that we have in Christ, that your joy may be full. Are you in Christ or out of Christ? The New Testament tells us that we're baptized into Christ. And when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. We read about that Ethiopian treasurer who was baptized and went on his way rejoicing. We read about the city of Samaria, who heard the preaching of Philip and the things of Jesus Christ and salvation in Jesus, and that city was baptized. The citizens of that city were baptized into Christ. Great joy and rejoicing in that city. Have you experienced that joy? The freedom from your sins? The hope of eternal life? If not, why not? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, and you're ready to claim his death to pay the price of your sin, that you might be dead to sin and alive in Christ, we'd encourage you today to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and rise to walk with him in newness of life, embracing the joy of the hope of salvation and a life of righteousness. If you're here today and you're a child of God and out of favor with him because of your sin, turn from it. Confess it. Let us pray with you and for you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today, please come as we stand and sing this song.